Welcome back to Racecast. Or maybe now that we are of this week, officially the biggest Formula One podcast on social media. Yeah, I'd say so. We've caused a real stir between Max Verstappen fans and Lewis Hamilton fans. It's been unbelievable. We're going to digest that later. But thank God, the end of the season is upon us. We are going to be previewing all things Abu Dhabi, last race of the season, last race of this horrid season. Unless you're a Red Bull fan, then maybe you enjoyed it. But I mean, even so, I think you're probably thinking at this point, winning's no fun if you've got no competition. I'm not going to go into this. We've spoken about this a lot. Also, apologies. This video podcast, it's not a video, it's audio, is going out a little bit late. So we are literally recording. It's like 8 o'clock Wednesday now. And as soon as we finish, we're going to be uploading this to Spotify. So yeah, if you are listening to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any platform where you can rate us 5 stars, please do it, because it makes a big difference. Even if you're coming from Instagram or TikTok at the moment and you're a Max Verstappen fan and you hate us because we're Lewis fans, we don't hate you. It's nothing personal. We just have preferences. So don't be a prick. Anyway, do get involved on social media. We are becoming much more active there now. Yeah, just search Racecast into TikTok, Twitter, Instagram. You'll find us. And if you can't, it's probably not for you anyway. So you're going to hear a little car noise now, and then we're going to crack on.
All right, guys. Yeah, so it's actually been quite an interesting week since the last podcast, because so we've always discussed that we don't record the podcast anymore. We record on the audio, but we don't actually film it. So Luke came up with this idea that actually we could have a graphic of ourselves and still actually put videos and TikToks out. So we did that. And actually the first one we did was the discussion which I made about the fact that F1 needs Lewis Hamilton more than Lewis Hamilton needs F1.
He's the only person feared by Max.
Yeah. And let's say it got quite a good discussion going. it triggered a few fans.
Yeah, and even fans of like Lando Norris and Fernando Alonso,
yep,
and Charles Leclerc, you know, people contesting, you know, well, if Lando was in the car, he'd be able to compete. Yeah, well, I haven't seen him get a race win yet, so I'm gonna question that one. Fernando Alonso, yeah. Maybe.
Would you like some of the comments?
Yeah, let's hear them.
I just picked some random.
Bear in mind, there's like a good few thousand here.
Yeah, there's a lot across Instagram, long.
There's a few thousand. It's on TikTok, is it?
TikTok, yeah. A bit TikTok. I didn't say TikTok.
You did.
Did I? Okay. Anyway, so one of them was, so you say he needs a good car to win races. Max was winning races when Mercs were dominating.
Well, that's also not what we're saying.
That's not literally what I said in the slightest, but
we were saying that if Lewis had a car that was good, he'd be competing with Max. Yeah. But
I might just say this Red Bull is nowhere close to what those Mercs were. This is a rocket ship.
Let's not be fucking stupid here. This Red Bull is on a different planet. Red Bull have 850 points this season, something like that. Mercedes in 2020, the W11, regarded one of the greatest F1 cars ever, they finished on like 550 constructor points. So screw your tiny little pea brain on, right? And actually think about this when we say things. No one is discrediting Max, but that car is insane.
Yeah.
Fair play, Red Bull. It's part of the sport. I'm not going into that discussion. I'm just saying, on a level, let's be fucking real here. If someone had a car that was on par with that Red Bull,
yes,
there's only one driver that could take it to Lewis Hamilton, and that's the point. So,
and I think a lot of people took it out of context and they took it to how they wanted to. So, you know, you've got people here. So, he's had a competitive car all his career. The absolute worst cars he's driven were second or third fastest at the worst. Again, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is it's a competitive car to challenge for the championship.
Yeah, there's having a competitive car, and then there's having a title-winning car.
Yeah.
Right? And granted, Lewis has been lucky because He made a risky move to Mercedes. We say risky. Clearly, looking back, he knew something. Or was shown something. But at the end of the day, the best drivers drive the best cars.
Yeah.
The best drivers drive for the best teams, and the best teams make the best cars. It's how it works, right? That's why Nicholas Latifi was at Williams, and he then got dropped after a few seasons because he wasn't one of the best drivers. Do you know what I mean? It's just how the sport works. But obviously, the best drivers need the best cars. Naturally. If you stuck Nicholas Latifi in this Red Bull, I can guarantee, if you had Nicholas Latifi and Sergio Perez in this Red Bull, I reckon Lewis probably would have won the title this season. I'm going to put that out there.
Yeah. No, it's those type of things that actually, it is a driver.
Well, they also need to read into that and be like, that's actually a compliment to Max as well.
It is. So this one, British optimism, Alonso, Piastri, Norris, Russell, Albon.
Piastri?
Hang on. Let me see. So Alonso, Piastri, Norris, Russell, Albon. Give them all the same car and Hamilton would still be third or fourth. No. All right. You're on something here. That's rubbish.
Firstly, Piastri has only just had a full season in F1.
Don't get me wrong. I do think he will be good, granted.
Where he's been outscored by Lando Norris, his teammate. So that's mental. Secondly, George Russell is being outscored hugely by Lewis Hamilton, currently. Thirdly, Alex Albon has quite literally had the same car as Max Verstappen before.
Yeah,
and he got absolutely cooked by him. So, I don't understand the point here.
This one, basically the difference in performance between the Red Bull 19, RB19 and the W14 is so significant, driver ability alone can make that gap.
Driver ability?
Yeah.
Or drivability?
It says driver ability alone can make that. Because if we switched the car, Max wouldn't be Lewis. He's gone on to say, because if we switched the car, Max wouldn't beat Lewis at all in the RB19. Simple as that. You guys have to remember, Adrian Neade is the only, I'm thinking he meant to say Adrian Newey here, is the only active engineer in the grid that was around last ground effect era. What is this guy on? While everyone else had to figure it out, he already knew what would be and what would work.
This is the problem. A lot of people on TikTok are a bit stupid. They can't like string proper sentences together. But
there was a lot of people who agreed with us. Facts, absolutely. The sport without Lewis Hamilton would be rubbish from every angle. Driving, competition, and promoting F1 as an entertainment spectacle. Fact. If you gave Max, Lewis, and Alonso the exact same car, I'm absolutely certain Alonso would win. Max second and Lewis third. No. There's no
Alonso.
Yeah, they think Alonso would beat Max and Lewis.
Right. Oh. I mean, the fact that Max and Lewis both have more World Drivers' Championships than Alonso says enough. No, didn't Alonso actually go to McLaren
and get beaten
by Lewis Hamilton in his first season?
But no, Alonso would definitely beat Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah, definitely.
A lot of people did agree, actually, but a lot of Lando Norris came into the conversation a lot. Can I say something about Lando Norris, okay? Lando Norris is not in the same category as Max Verstappen or Lewis Hamilton.
Absolutely.
Lando Norris, don't get me wrong, very good driver, but he is not at the level of Max or Lewis, and I don't think he ever will be, because he does not have that killer instinct to go on and win a championship.
Here's the thing, right? You say you made a good point there, because you said he's a very good driver, and he is a very good driver, right? But the difference is Lewis and Max are great drivers.
Yeah.
Now, there's a distinction between great drivers. We get very few great drivers on the grid. Max, Lewis, Seb, Alonso. I think maybe he is past his peak now, whether you want to believe that or not. He hasn't won a championship since 2006. So, let's be honest. Michael Schumacher is in the greats. We can't put Lando on the same level as these people who have absolutely proven everything.
Yeah.
It is insane. Lando is a very good driver, but he's not even got a race win.
And I think that's, and he's had 100 Grand Prix and over 100 Grand Prix.
He's had chances to win as well. Let's not forget that. It's not like we can say, oh yeah, but his whole career, he's not had a car that's been in the position to win a Grand Prix.
He should have won in Russia.
Yeah.
He fucked that for himself because he didn't listen to the team.
Yeah.
And granted, I know some people will go, Lewis disagreed with his team. The difference was Lewis trusted in his team with their decision.
Yeah, and he came in.
And he came in and he went on to win that race. That's the difference, okay? And I know people can say he's very naive, he's very young, he's still learning. He had a chance to win in Monza.
Yeah, he could have overtaken his... He followed team orders, but here's the thing, killer instinct.
Yeah, Danny Rick went on to win that.
Do you follow team orders when you're in the position to win your first ever Grand Prix? That's not a killer to me.
No.
You've seen the headaches that Max has caused Red Bull over the years. You know how fiery he gets on the radio. We've seen Lewis completely disobey the team.
Yep.
Because this is what the great drivers do.
And I know people will go, oh, well, that's disrespecting the team. But if you want to become the best, honestly, some of the ways Lando has jumped out of the way for Max Verstappen.
Oh, that's annoying.
It's been a bit embarrassing. And, you know, for me, if you're going to go up into that level of being a great, you need that killer instinct. And don't get me wrong, people will always go, oh, well, he wasn't in that race. He knew he wasn't going to be able to keep Max. But you at least fight and you show some passion. And I know the other lot will go, well, actually, well, it's tyre management, it's all of this. Bollocks. You want to see drivers go head to head. If you want to be the best, you have to go out there and challenge. If you hold that driver for one or two laps, I would fully respect that more. And don't get me wrong, I know Lando Norris doesn't need my respect. He couldn't give a shit. But I would respect him more as a driver to go, okay, you know, at least he actually put up a fight.
Surely it's about self-respect. I'd be coming out of that race if I hadn't defended. Yeah. And just let people through and just thought,
Austin,
why did I do that?
Austin, how much did he just jump out of the way?
Oh, yeah, no.
He basically went off track.
He just parked up on the side for Max to go through.
Liam Lawson in the sister team in Sanford
put up more of a fight. Yeah.
And he wasn't even fighting for anything.
Yeah, they're not even nearly on the same level. I mean, they hadn't even received like the upgrade, so the AlphaTauri wasn't even a decent car at that point.
I don't know. I don't get me wrong. I think I'm going to put it out there. I think Lando will win a race next year. I do.
In theory, if the McLaren develops in this way. But at this point, I'm starting to think, will he ever win a race? You know, is he one of those drivers that just has, or one of those, I think you can put him in the sportsman category, that has so much hype around them, maybe because they're in pop culture. Like, oh, Lando Norris, he streams, he's so cool, he's one of us. So then everyone likes him, understandably.
Yeah.
But that kind of inflates his sort of social value, so people think he's a better driver than he actually is. Now, again, I want to stress, Lando Norris is one of the best drivers on the grid, but he's not in the category of Lewis and Max or Fernando Alonso.
I still stand by it, and I know I'll get a lot of hate for this, that give Piastri another 1 or 2 years, he will be better than Lando Norris.
Why does he need 1 or 2 years, though? Why is this? Okay, because Max didn't need 1 or 2 years.
No.
Lewis didn't need 1 or 2 years.
No. I don't know. I just think Piastri has done phenomenal this year. You know, when you look at the rookies, he's done phenomenal.
Yeah, but he has also had a car to back it up. Now, he's done a good job, but he has been outscored by his teammate.
Yes, granted.
Lando's
been in the sport a lot longer. He knows that car, he knows that team, he knows how to get the best out of the car. Piastri is learning, and for Piastri, he's won a race. Yes, okay, it's a sprint race. He's won a race more before his teammate.
Yeah, no, which must feel good.
He's actually gone head-to-head with Max Verstappen on the track and fought him, not just jumped out of the way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, obviously, I mean, Lando just waves him through. But I don't know. I think that's going to be an interesting one because I do think Piastri is really good. But like, I know obviously it sounds like I've just been slagging Lando off for the last 5 minutes, but I really do think Lando is a great driver. So it's hard for me to be like, oh yeah, you know, I think Piastri will beat him next season.
Hang on,
season
but you said earlier that to be a great driver, like he's only a good driver. So what are you saying? Because you said he's not a great driver like Lewis and Max.
Yeah, well, as in he's not one of the greats.
Yeah, we just called him great.
No, like he's a really good driver. He's a top driver, but which is why I think it's difficult for Piastri. And I think the comparisons are pretty mad on Piastri as well because Lando has outscored him substantially this season. Is it purely because he won a sprint race in Qatar that we're giving him all this?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know,
because
he's...
if he hadn't have won Qatar, say Lando finished ahead of him, at what point in the season are we warranting this, or from which point in the season are we warranting this idea that he's got a higher ceiling than Lando Norris? And again,
a good point. I don't know. Watching Piastri this year, there was obviously a lot of hype around him, hence why he left Alpine, you know, and went to McLaren. McLaren obviously I see a lot in him. When I look at Piastri this year, there's just moments throughout this season that I've gone, okay, yeah, it's a different level, and I think
to Lando.
So in certain aspects, yeah.
Was it when Lando was quicker than him in Japan and Oscar had to be given team orders?
No, not that one.
No,
I don't know. I just have a feeling that Piastri is going to be a better driver in long term.
I mean, I'm interested to see that one play out. Yeah. Like I say, I think Piastri is really good. I think McLaren have an incredible partnership.
Oh, 100%. Just finishing off the discussion of the TikToks and the Instagram we put out. So one guy put, he's got the car, mate, but an average driver can't be in front unless the car is minimum 2 seconds faster than anyone else. Put Max Verstappen in that Mercedes and he will win races.
Yeah, I think this is, again, it's a really sort of like dumb take. Perhaps on like comparison of previous seasons, because I think a lot of people like to look at the Mercedes season and be like, well, other people still won races then. Like, yeah, it was not as dominant. Yeah. Look at the stats. Like, if you're so blind and stupid, just look at the stats and you'll see how dominant this Red Bull is, right? Incredible job. Yep, that Red Bull needed Max Verstappen behind the wheel because he's what's made it so dominant. We've seen what an average driver in the car does, and you get a Sergio Perez who's
30 points ahead of a Mercedes.
Yeah, who's only just pipped second place.
Yeah.
One, because Lewis Hamilton took himself out in Qatar. Two, because Lewis Hamilton got a DQ in Austin. And three, because the car was, for whatever reason, a Vauxhall Corsa around Interlagos. But there is absolutely no chance in hell. If the Mercedes was as quick as that Red Bull, and the Red Bull was as quick as the Mercedes is now, no chance. Lewis would have smashed this championship. Max would have not got a single win this season. And it would have been an absolute whitewash of a season for Mercedes. Exactly the same. It requires a great driver. I stand by that. That's why I say Lewis, not George. Mm. And it's why when I talk about Red Bull, I say Max and not Sergio. But let's be real here. The car is unbelievably quick. Mm. It's like no one is coming close to it. And you've seen that this season. There's only one race they haven't won this season. Yeah. Do you know how insane that is?
Yeah, it's phenomenal. What Red Bull have done this year is, I don't think we'll ever see it again. I honestly don't think we will.
I will genuinely be shocked if next season is not more competitive than this season. God, I was trying to work out how to phrase that.
Yeah.
Because other teams will be catching up. I'm starting to question how much faster this Red Bull can get at this point.
Yeah.
Maybe that's like me taking shots of hopium or copium, whatever, however you want to phrase it. But I think I would be surprised if the FIA do not introduce some little regulation changes over the winter break aimed to slow that Red Bull down a bit. We saw it happen to Mercedes over their dominant years, and granted, it didn't really work, you know, until 2021 when that was because the cost cap came into effect and they genuinely just didn't upgrade their car, which is fascinating because they produced such a shit car for 2022.
Oh, it was awful.
Someone needs to be reported for fraud because where the fuck has that budget gone? They should be just sacked. Sack them. Whoever came up with that W13, well, to be fair, it's gone. It was Mike Elliott, wasn't it? But
yeah.
You know, don't hate that guy, but I hate that guy. Don't hate on him, is my point.
Just enjoy.
No, I don't hate him, but I hate that car. But he's actually left Mercedes now. So.
He has, yeah. Can I finish off on two comments?
Yeah.
I really like this one. This will be the greatest time in F1. Cherish it. Schumacher was the king of F1 in his time. Hamilton was the king of F1 in his time. And Max will be the king of our generation.
So this is the greatest time.
But we get to watch two kings battle each other on the same grid. So enjoy it because it won't happen again for years. So basically what he's saying is we had Schumacher, who was the king of that time.
Yeah.
We had Lewis Hamilton, but now we've got Lewis and Max in the same grid. So we should be cherishing it.
All right.
Does that make sense? So yeah, obviously we had the 21 season.
But I don't really get... Yeah, we had the 2020... But my point is I wanted that in 2022 and 2023 and I want it in 2024.
But I think that's what he's trying to say is that if we get it back to have a competitive car, we can hopefully enjoy this.
Yeah, exactly. All I want is a repeat of 2021.
100%. But then this guy...
Where Lewis wins. Well, Lewis did win 2021, but we're not going to go down that wormhole right now.
Well, we might do. We might go later on because we are back in Abu Dhabi.
We are back in Abu Dhabi.
Laugh my arse off. Every single one in that grid would challenge Max, except AlphaTauri. Stop capping. Mate, honestly...
Except who the fuck is AlphaTauri?
Yeah.
I've not heard of him.
Except the
two AlphaTauri drivers, is that...
Yeah, that's basically what... So he's thinking Logan Sargeant would challenge Max Verstappen. He's thinking Joel. He thinks Bottas. He thinks...
Sergio Perez?
Lance Stroll would challenge... No, mate... You're telling us to stop capping. Like,
do you see what I mean? This is the problem when you deal with TikTok, is that there's a lot of dumb people floating about because you can just be anybody and just sign up to it, and then for whatever reason they allow you to sign up and then they allow you to comment on things. So this is what we have to deal with when we post shit on social media, and it's painful. Fair enough if you disagree with our opinions, right? These are just opinions, but saying dumb shit like that just makes me want to hit myself in the face.
I don't understand it.
But, yeah, that sort of concludes that. But if you do want to get involved in social media, as I said before, at Racecast, we're going to be a lot more active from now, posting different shit. Hopefully sparking discussion and debate amongst different fans. It's always nice when we see, like, fans going at each other. I think it's nice, right? Because it shows, like, passion. And it's maybe something we don't see as Lewis fans, where we're like, all we see is the passion for Lewis.
Yeah.
And then you actually see, oh, no, people feel this way about other drivers, yeah. Which is sometimes quite hard to recognise because you're a bit like, how?
And I think it's quite funny because I used to, whenever I used to get a negative comment, I'd be like, oh, no. And
Luke was like, God, Matt used to cry about the negative comments all the time.
But now I find it quite amusing because I like the discussion. I like the discussion. But yeah, get involved. Firstly, are you one of them who's actually commented? Let us know if you actually have commented on a TikTok or Instagram. But we're going to be doing more. We're going to try and do daily uploads. We're going to try.
Hopefully a couple a day.
Yeah, because we like the interaction. And two, we want to bring you more content, because obviously we know we don't film the podcast, but actually by doing this, and we can actually get content out, which is quite good.
Yeah.
Because what we were initially doing, we were, and you know, just being transparent with you, we were just up filming the podcast, putting out every Wednesday. But actually, some of the ones we've put out recently, we film on the day, do it, whatever topic, you know, this weekend, with Las Vegas, we did some Las Vegas ones. So yeah, it was good. It was good. I enjoyed it. Shall we talk about Las Vegas?
Yeah, that was this weekend, wasn't it?
That was this weekend.
Firstly, yeah, can I just mention, right? Doubleheader weekend. F1. Going carbon neutral. Their carbon footprint. We're going green. Turbo hybrid engines. Las Vegas to Abu Dhabi. So we've gone... Where did we go? We went from...
Mexico.
Qatar.
Brazil. I know.
Went Qatar, Mexico, Brazil, Abu Dhabi, Las Vegas, and then back to Abu Dhabi to finish the season.
Yep.
Not the brightest thinking from this carbon footprint side of the argument. I do have a real issue with their signal, virtue signaling. This whole going green bollocks, and we're doing all this stuff, and then they have races dotted here, there, and absolutely fucking everywhere throughout the whole season, rather than being like, okay, well, you know, we'll do the Middle East leg of the tour, then we'll head out to Australia, and then maybe we'll go up to Japan, and then we'll come across into Europe, and then we'll finish over in the States or whatever. What's the bloody reason? Because, you know what? Start doing that. Do it like that. And bring the fucking V8s back. Or, if you don't care, then fly here, there, and everywhere and still bring the V8s back. Because either way, right, you're doing us a favour. You're either saying, actually, we're just spewing this shit because the head of PR told us to do it.
Yeah.
So we're going to get the V8s back. We'll be like, sick. Thank you. I appreciate that. Or secondly, it's like, no, we actually really do care. We're going to make big changes so we can bring the V8s back.
Yeah.
Great. I literally cannot stand it. But yeah, we've gone from Las Vegas to Abu Dhabi to end the season, where presumably everyone's then going to fly off home because none of them live in fucking Abu Dhabi.
No. All in Monaco or anywhere else. Or where place.
Monaco, Australia, show... Is perhaps going back to China. Yuki Tsunoda actually lives... Oh, is it Zhou that lives in Sheffield?
Zhou lives over here, yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's Sheffield.
Sheffield, I think.
That is a really random place to... But...
It's all going... Yeah, they're all going...
But yeah, Abu Dhabi, last race. Oh, no, we've got to talk about Las Vegas.
Let's recap Vegas pretty quick. So,
now,
when we discussed this last week, we were like...
I gave it a hard time.
We were like, it's a high chance it's going to be a failure. Quick recap, Friday...
I really slagged off the track, by the way.
You did.
I did.
And we'll get onto that in a second. Friday was a failure. FP1, the drain cover came up, absolutely destroyed Carlos Sainz's car. That then put a halt to FP1, so they literally had 10 minutes of...
Can I just touch on this?
Yeah.
Now, did you see Toto Wolff's interview?
Yeah, he was quite passionate.
In
the
press
one
conference.
Yeah. So I saw Fred Vasseur's one.
Mm. Which is hilarious, by the way.
Yeah, he was class.
This is...
I like him.
I like him a lot. This is in the driver's press conference. Not the driver's one. The team principal press conference. Now, Toto Wolff gave some, like, strange, passionate speech. I'll tell you why it was an embarrassment. Simply because the amount of money that has been pumped into this Las Vegas Grand Prix is off the fucking charts. It's off the scale, right? They have absolutely pissed off so many of the residents there, so many business owners there, by either charging them for having visibility of the track in a location that they've been for perhaps decades.
Yeah.
And then they pump all this money in while upsetting all the locals, not giving a shit and disrupting all this business. And then they haven't even sorted the track out properly. Like, it is funny and it is embarrassing. It does happen elsewhere. It has happened before.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't make it a total disaster. But yes, it's embarrassing. Let's be real here.
And what is even further embarrassing is the fact that actually they absolutely destroyed Carlos Sainz's car. And then instead of going, you know, shit, I'm sorry for that. There was a track error. You know, this is our fault, whatever. No, you're going to get a 10-place grid penalty, and we're not going to actually help pay for any damages.
Yeah, so he did $1 million worth of damage, plus, yeah. I think. Yeah, obviously had to replace his PU or whatever it was. He had to replace quite
a lot. He played quite a lot. Yeah, it was a lot of different things, yeah.
He then got a 10-place grid penalty for it, so that is FIA justice. And, you know, for me,
that was an embarrassment.
It's just... FIA justice is timed perfectly in a week where we're going to have to talk about Abu Dhabi. But this just sums them up, man. How stupid is that?
So then you get to FP2. Because they were still working on a track, FP2 got delayed until 2 a.m. in the morning. Well, that is 2 a.m. is in the morning anyway. 2 a.m.
is in the morning.
But
2 a.m. local time, this is.
2 a.m. local time. But to make it worse, they weren't allowing any fans in. So fans got cut off at 1:30. It was going to be 2 a.m. So actually, by fans, you can't actually
get. Yeah, but they did get a $200 voucher.
And for the F1 shop.
Where else would you want to spend $200?
At our shop. So
it was the perfect remedy, really, for these fans that had presumably spent
thousands
of dollars to be there. Had their first session cut off after maybe 10 minutes.
It was literally 10 minutes, yeah.
They were then made to wait around until, I think, about 1:30 a.m. when they then got kicked out. So it's fine, though, because here's $200 that you have to go and spend on our merchandise.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I can't have the money back to, like, you know, because in the end, like, we had to go out for dinner or something, we had to do something else because you kicked us out of the event that we paid for.
Yeah.
Nah.
And then to talk, I saw a great great tweet about this, and they were like, you know, all these fans who had probably gone there have probably no interest in F1. Like, some of the fans there have got no interest in F1. They're just going there because of this spectacle. That then they've been given a $200 F1 voucher, which they have no interest in ever buying any F1 clothing. And that, what the fuck have they done?
That's true. Nothing. I mean, firstly, like, it does take the piss out of fans. Yeah. I agree with Max saying that he would tear the place down if that happened.
Yeah.
I'd agree. I would absolutely kick off. But thirdly, you talk about the spectacle there. And it's true. Like, they're probably, you know, look, Americans have money. A lot of Americans do have a lot of money. Not all of them, I know. But a lot of them probably would have been like, holy shit, a race in Las Vegas. And here's one thing I love about American people, or even like just American, Canadian, that side of the Atlantic, is how excited they get for spectacles, right? So they would have bought into that show, the F1 show, purely based on like giddiness and excitement of like, holy shit, this is going to be so sick. Like, no, I've never watched an F1 race in my life. How fucking cool is this going to be? And then, okay, I know it wasn't the race, but their first experience with F1 in the flesh is watching 10 minutes of cars trundle round a track, one of them getting punted by a drain cover, and then them getting booted out at 1:30 and not being allowed to watch the second practice session.
And then, to top it off, they can go and spend $200 on a Logan Sargeant hoodie.
Yeah, the shit that they don't want. Yeah. It's just, it's a fucking insult, and it's a shame for those that now, that set the standard for F1 for them. It's like, oh, firstly, this is how they treat their fans, and it's just like, what the hell even goes on in this sport?
It's awful. So again, on Saturday, actually, after Friday, I thought this is a utter shit show. Getting on to Saturday, actually, it improved. FP3 went ahead absolutely fine. qualifying went ahead absolutely fine, and I was like, okay, it's starting to pick it up a bit here. Charles Leclerc got pole position, very good. Well, actually, let's start off in Q1. Biggest shock seeing both McLarens out. No, I didn't really expect that to happen. You kind of did.
It's weird. It's weird. I kind of... obviously, we do our predictions every week, right?
Yeah.
I spent the bulk of the episode saying that this McLaren is not that quick in a straight line. I don't know why you're, like, saying it is. To then putting Lando Norris in my top three in a track that is effectively four straight lines. So it was pretty weird. I don't really understand what I was thinking, but my points that I made were very valid, and the McLaren was really not very quick.
No, they were, but the best thing was about it. You literally came in the chat going, yeah, see, Matt, I told you the predict, and then I was like, but you put him in. And you were like, yeah, but...
Nah, just ignored it. I just thought, yeah, fucking hell, I don't know why I did that. But it really... Yeah, it really went back on everything that I truly believed. And so it wasn't a shock to me. I saw the McLarens go out and I was like, I knew that was going to happen.
Yeah.
Now, you can call it a massive brain if you want, or just like unbelievable F1 knowledge.
Massive brain.
But that was a stroke of genius and I foresaw it.
Yeah, you did, but you still put him in the top three.
Anyway, yeah, that was a lapse in judgment. Yeah,
stupid brain. Heading into Q2, it's interesting. So Lewis Hamilton eliminated in Q2. That was a shock.
that fucking pissed me off.
Yeah, I was.
He needs to up his quali game next year, right? And he, I'll say this: if he doesn't up his quali game next year, even if he has a car on par with Max, he will not be able to compete with Max. Race pace, agreed. Lewis is an absolute beast still. Yeah. You see that, and Las Vegas is actually very representative of that. But if he does not improve his qualifying, as we've seen this season, you cannot compete in a title battle with this inconsistency in qualifying. No. And I know Lewis himself has said it, so we know he recognises it, but yeah, it is an area that he really needs to improve on.
Yep. One of the other shocks, well, it's not really a shock,
it's
is
not
it?
A shock.
Sergio Perez also eliminated in Q2. I suppose what the shock was is they brought him in. I was expecting him to change tyres and he'll go back out. But they were so confident that he was going to be fine that they just left him in the garage.
Yeah, which is weird because I understand when Red Bull have this arrogance with Max.
Yeah.
But Checo, come on.
Yeah, I mean, that's a whole different ballgame. Then heading into Q3. So, great lap by Charles Leclerc, getting on pole. Obviously, we knew Carlos Sainz had the 10 place grid penalty. He did get P2. He did the best he probably could. Max P3.
Could... No, we'll talk about this when you go through the grid. And then I got a question.
I'm just trying to remember. So, George was ended up being P4.
Yeah, George put in a good lap. And and this is my point, like, coming back to the Lewis thing. Is George is obviously not on the same pace as Lewis this season. Just look at the championship. But we're seeing sessions like this where George is getting the car through and Lewis is dropping out in Q2, and
yeah,
it's just an area that needs to be worked on.
No, I agree. Both Williams, solid performance. It made me laugh because
unbelievable.
There was a graphic that came up about Logan Sargeant, and literally saw the last five qualifyings, and it said P20, 20, 20, 20, 20. And all of a sudden, they were like, oh, that's not going to happen today. He's in actually
P6.
Was it P6 he got?
Yeah, didn't Albon get P5 and he got P6?
Oh, yeah, from the. Yeah.
With Carlos.
Yeah, with Carlos.
Yeah.
But yeah, all of a sudden, you know, solid from the Williams this weekend, you know, with regards to their qualifying pace. But yeah, decent from Charles Leclerc. And I did another TikTok going, will Charles Leclerc go on and get the win? I wasn't sure. And obviously, that did happen in the race. He didn't.
Albeit,
he was
made
close.
No mistakes.
He didn't.
Oh, well, he did actually have a little...
He went off, didn't he, when he got overtaken by Perez.
But he recovered.
He did recover, but he did make a mistake.
But what I do want to say...
Tell us.
Would Charles Leclerc have won that race had Carlos Sainz have been able to start P2? Because I believe he would have.
Say that again?
Would Charles Leclerc have won that race if Carlos Sainz started P2?
No.
Why?
Because I truly believe that Ferrari would have screwed herself again because they would have battled each other. And that would have brought Max into the fold.
Yeah, see, I, for whatever reason, disagree. I think Charles would have won that race had he started P1. Had Carlos started P2. I'll tell you why. He wouldn't have been run all the way to Dubai into the first corner by Carlos Sainz, as Max Verstappen did to him.
But his brakes were cold.
Oh, yeah, no, we'll talk about that. He would have had a buffer between Max and Carlos, between himself and Max with Carlos. He would have been driving in clean air.
Yeah.
In what really did actually seem like the quickest car. Even on race pace, I think the difference was Max Verstappen. But I think if you had Carlos Sainz starting there in between, I think that was Charles Leclerc's win for the taking.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, guys, listen at home. If Carlos Sainz started P2...
And didn't receive that unfair grid penalty.
Yeah, so if you're looking at Las Vegas Grand Prix, you had Charles Leclerc P1, Carlos Sainz actually did start P2... Would Charles Leclerc win that race? I don't think he would have.
I stand by the fact that I believe he would have had everything in his arsenal to win that race. And I think keeping Max Verstappen behind going into turn one, assuming that he also kept Carlos behind, I think Charles would have won that race.
Let us know. I personally don't think. I think Max would have still won.
Max would have got P2, though. I don't think Sainz would have got P2.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, true. Should we talk about the race? So, interesting one. So, to start...
Let's talk about this pattern of behaviour that is...
What, the Max Verstappen move?
Yeah, what the hell is the Max Verstappen kamikaze that he does? Because...
He loves it, doesn't he?
We, as Lewis Hamilton fans, saw this... an unbearable amount of times in 2021, go completely unpunished. You can refer to Brazil. I have a really bad throat. Go to Brazil, Saudi Arabia, where he genuinely just tried to murder him, I think. And then we've seen it happen a couple of times this season. And Charles was obviously deeply unhappy. He said, this is a joke now, like, this needs to be addressed. And it's true, like, and you brought up an interesting point because Max said that his brakes were cold.
Yeah.
Well, he was absolutely fuming at George Russell when George went into the side of him as they went side by side into turn two at Baku this season.
Yeah.
And George said, mate, my tyres were cold, I had no grip. And then Max said, we all had no grip. Well, everyone's brakes were cold, Max.
Mm.
Surely you would have known that your brakes were cold. So why are you dive bombing into turn one?
I don't believe that for a second.
Double standards.
Yeah. And actually, what was frustrating with that is he didn't get asked to give the place back.
It took them ages.
It took him a good 10 laps, 11 laps.
I think they were going through the regs trying to find out how they could avoid giving him any sort of penalty.
Or they were just waiting for him to get a big enough gap to go, right, 5 seconds now.
Yeah.
And they're fine. I don't agree with it. I think it's not a tough enough punishment. And I think Martin Brundle made a great point on the commentary in the sense of, you know that actually once the Red Bull are in clean air, they generally just run off with it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They think that actually, if you're going to make that decision, that is a clear decision to make very quick. You should be able to do that in the same lap.
This was not a lap one incident where it's like, oh, okay, like, maybe if that was a normal lap, we'd give the position back, but it's a lap one incident or like a turn one incident.
Yeah.
This was a blatant running him off the track. He outbraked himself.
Yeah.
And it ran Charles off the track.
And that compromised Charles massively. And I think we've often questioned the FIA's decisions and the slow decisions that they make. And this was another prime example because it was embarrassing with how long it took. Because it just felt like
Max,
you know, Max finds it as just a joke in the sense of, and you could hear that in his radio commentary.
Yeah.
Send my regards or whatever. You know, it just doesn't seem like actually, if that was anyone else, they wouldn't, you know, actually, we didn't even pick up in qualifying, did we? What Max and Ocon?
Yeah, the Max and Ocon scenario where he was backing people up.
Yeah.
Then got overtaken. And then just drove to purposely ruin Ocon's lap.
Yeah.
Which he admitted, by the way. Since when has that been allowed?
Did he get punished for that?
No. Ooh.
Of course not. You know, and it's very double standards. And this is, it happens all the time. And they just get away with it. And it is, you know, it gets a bit tedious watching it because it's kind of like, okay, well, you know, what are we doing here?
Yeah. No, it's
it can't be one rule for one and one rule for everyone else.
No, it is unbelievable. And that should have been, you can't just give up. I know the 5-second penalty did benefit Charles Leclerc in the end. He got the position after the round of pit stops.
No, he didn't. He overtook him before he pitted.
What? Yeah, but then when Max came out, he came out behind Charles.
Well, yeah, but Charles was already in front because he overtook him before he pitted.
Well, he overtook him as he was pitting.
Yeah, only because they pushed it out. They were like, no, we can't have Maxi boy overtaken. Yeah. Get him in. You know,
but like,
can't have him overtaken on the grid.
He did technically keep the position.
Yeah, but then Ferrari fucked it from themselves again with a crap pit stop that brought him back into contention.
Yeah.
This is exactly what I mean. Ferrari end up screwing their own race all the time.
But the penalty wasn't harsh enough.
No.
But he should have been forced to give that place back. Yeah. So
I agree.
It's just another example of like, Jesus Christ, they are so inefficient. And they're so poor at applying penalties, particularly when the driver in question is Max Verstappen. Mm. Whether you think that's like a conspiracy theory or not, just go back and watch races and try and take your Red Bull tinted sunglasses off and be like, actually, if that happened to my driver, like, you know, if someone did that to Max, me as a Max fan, would I be happy? Do I think they deserve a penalty? You'd probably say, yeah, 9 out of 10 times.
Yeah, 100%. Lando Norris had an awful crash. Very nasty.
That looked pretty terrifying. Because very nasty. Nothing really happened. No. He just lost it on like a fast left-hander.
Luckily, he was okay. But yeah, that was a nasty crash. Other than that, I have to say, I was thoroughly impressed with this weekend's race. I actually really enjoyed it. I like the track. It reminds me of Saudi Arabia vibes.
Yep, and the last corner reminds me of Singapore, just even
great,
quicker.
Great corner.
Yeah.
I think that's brilliant.
I completely ate my words. If you listened to last week's episode, you know that I rinsed it. Slagged the track off. Thought the whole event was going to be a shambles. Some of it was, so tick. But the track was sick. I loved it. I thought the race was really good. I thought it had everything.
It was one of the better races of the year, I'd say.
Yeah, I think so.
Definitely up there. But no, like, some great overtaking. Charles Leclerc, last lap, decent overtake on Perez.
Yeah.
Perez just can't close out a last lap, can he?
I loved that. I celebrated, didn't I? I was delighted when I so wanted Charles to get that P2. So I was so happy. So happy when he got it. Yeah. But speaking of overtakes,
Yeah.
Do you know who completed the most overtakes?
Yeah, do you want me to tell you? I've got it here.
Go on then.
Is this the one I sent you?
Did you send it to me?
Yeah, I sent it in our group chat. Is this the one you're looking at?
Yeah, that's the one I saw.
So, Lewis Hamilton, how many overtakes did he do?
Bear in mind, if you don't know what happened to Lewis Hamilton, he...
Oh yeah, give us a recap.
Off the mark, got cannonballed by Carlos Sainz. he then sort of got himself into a little bit of traffic with Alonso spinning and then getting driven into by Bottas, was it? Or Zhou? Just drove in, as in like Alonso.
Yeah.
The Alfa Romeo just decided to hit him head on for whatever reason. And then they'd kind of both come to a stop and then the Alfa Romeo just drove into him.
Yeah.
To which Lewis then found himself down in P14, I think. So he lost like four places off the line.
Yeah. Got his way back up.
Yeah, worked his way back up to Piastri. He's showing really good pace.
Collision with Piastri.
Yeah, not for the first time this season either.
Nope, got a puncture.
Just as he went past the pit entry. Yeah.
And the annoying thing with that was he was on hards. He was on the right tire, putting in some good laps. But obviously, he got the puncture, which meant he had to pit and go onto the medium.
Do you know what? There is no one else on that grid. Has anyone else had a fucking puncture this season? I swear they don't even exist anymore. All of a sudden, Piastri, like, blows a little bit of air on Lewis's wheel. Puncture.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Fucking bullshit. That would not happen to... That would never happen to Max.
No. Actually, we'll continue. So, he then pitted. He then came back out.
Pretty much dead last.
He pretty much was last. And then, went on to, finish P7?
P6, no? Because George got the penalty.
Pretty sure it was P7 he got. Was it not?
Don't know.
It
was Max, Charles, Perez, Ocon, Sainz. Well, it was actually George.
Yeah, P7. Stroll was in there as well.
Yeah.
Solid from Stroll.
Yeah, good race.
But anyway, just finishing off this, it said Hamilton had 15 overtakes. He didn't get overtaken once.
Yeah.
That's rubbish, isn't it?
Why?
He got overtaken when he had the puncture.
Oh, that doesn't count.
Doesn't it?
It's not like you've been overtaken. That's just cars going past you.
But you're losing places.
Yeah, but it's not like you've been...
All right, fine.
Do you know what I mean?
Look, like... I'm happy with this. Don't get me wrong, I'm happy with this. I'm just asking the question. Piastri had 12 overtakes. He got overtaken 5 times. Verstappen did 8 overtakes and got overtaken once. Who do you think got overtaken the most with 13?
Oh, that's got to be Logan Sargeant.
No. What? Joel.
Really?
Yeah, Sargeant got 10.
Didn't Sargeant almost finish dead last again?
He did.
Which I said pretty early on. I wouldn't be surprised if he finished P20.
No, exactly. The biggest winners, I'd say, this weekend, Stroll, solid performance.
Great
this
weekend.
P5.
Ocon,
P4, again, very good. Perez, he started way back, and actually he had to pit on the first lap after collision.
Perez is a fucking loser, mate.
He still came P3.
He should be finishing P2 in that car.
Yep.
Charles Leclerc, big winner.
Piastri did well, considering the amount of... He went, you know...
Where did he finish?
P10. You got a point.
Terrible.
Yeah, no. Whoa,
strategy. You need to stop riding Piastri.
No, no. What I'm saying is he had to pit for damage as well. He had damage.
He was able to come in straight away.
Yeah, all right. He still had to pit. That's not dissing.
He was at fault for that crash with Lewis.
Yeah, all right.
He then had a terrible strategy and finished P10.
All right, yeah. He had a shocker. Rubbish, Piastri. You're absolutely crap. Is that what you want me to say?
Well, I mean, if you start P20,
yeah,
and then because you don't pit, you're P1 for the whole race, but then you pit and you finish P15, have you had a good race?
Solid.
No, absolutely
solid,
not.
Solid race, that. Solid.
It doesn't matter how many laps you've led. It matters where you finish.
Okay. So, Piastri, rubbish. On a whole, out of 10, I would rate the Las Vegas Grand Prix an 8.
Christ, you got... I was going to say 7. 8 seems a bit high for me. I mean, we still had a Max win.
Yeah.
But
it was entertaining. I liked the track. It was entertaining. There was a lot of overtakes. There was crashes. There were safety cars. There was a bit of the unknown. The bit of the mix of, like, you know, colder tires. You had the deck. Like, on a whole, I thought it's a bit more enjoyable. I felt it was a bit more enjoyable to watch than I have done some races this year.
I definitely felt like it was one of the more enjoyable races. But I give it a 7's a strong. All right. A strong number, you know. The majority of races this season have been like a solid 4.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a bit high, but yeah.
So, 8 seems a little bit high to me. Like I say, we still got the Max win.
Look, it's my score. You can't make me just like...
So, your score's wrong, and my score is right.
Okay. Let us know what your thoughts are on Las Vegas. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Show, looking ahead to Abu Dhabi.
Zhou or So? What?
I was going to say So, but it came out as Zhou. I'm not a fan of this track, but anyway, shall we give you a bit of news?
Yeah.
Lewis Hamilton will miss FP1 because Frederick Vesti is in the cockpit. So obviously he tested in Mexico in George's car. And now he's going to test in Lewis's car in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, I could honestly not be less interested in that. Would rather just see Lewis in the car. But it is what it is. Nice to see young drivers out on the track getting their chance. But, you know, realistically, is he going to be the next Mercedes driver? Probably not.
No. So
Mick Schumacher's gone, by the way. Do you see that?
No.
He's got a seat next season for Alpine. Can't remember the series.
Oh, is he? I didn't see that. Oh, interesting.
It was announced today.
He will never be back.
Also, Nick DeVries is back in Formula E from next season.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah. Mick will never be in F1
again. Like going back to an ex, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like you left her because you thought you could do better. You've gone to this new nice blonde bird and then she dumps you because she realises you're a bit of a loser and then you have to go crawling back to your ex and beg for forgiveness. It's a bit sad, really, isn't it? No, I wish him all the best of luck. I really do.
So, what's left to fight for this weekend, okay? So,
what? Nothing's left to fight for.
Yeah, Mercedes versus Ferrari, P2. And the constructors.
Oh, yeah. The good old P2 trophy.
Yeah, good old P2 trophy. Look, I'm just trying to make...
Almost won the championship trophy. Yeah. Not even almost.
You're about 800 points away, but you almost...
You can't even call yourself second best at this point because you're not... You're just... If you're not anywhere near Red Bull at this point, you're just bad.
Yeah. The thing is, we're clutching at straws to try and make it a positive weekend, okay? We are definitely clutching at straws. So, Mercedes versus Ferrari. So, it's 4 points separate the two historical giants. That's what it says here. Mercedes, 392 points.
Historical giants?
Yeah.
Well, Mercedes, the team that came to F1 in 2013.
Yeah.
Or it was a bit before that. That was when Lewis went there, like 2010 or whenever 2010. It was.
And Ferrari with 388, so 4 points. I mean, yes, okay, we got that one. Obviously, you got McLaren and Aston Martin fighting for P4. McLaren on 284 points, Aston Martin on 273. I think McLaren have got that in the bag.
I think McLaren will be a little bit stronger this weekend than last. I think this track also kind of suits the Aston a little bit.
Yep. Williams also look well set for the 7th in what would be their best placing since 2017.
Oh shit, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
The battle for 7th.
Yeah, no, it's
That one slipped my mind.
It's, yeah. 8th place, yes. AlphaTauri would need to score at least 7 points to overhaul them.
No, but that's actually why I forgot about 7th because I was thinking about the battle for 8th.
I get it. AlphaTauri in turn have a useful 5-point cushion over 9th place for Alfa Romeo. Whose advantage over last place Haas, who also scored just a solid few points in the last 12 events, is just 4 points.
Yeah, Haas have had a really bad season. Really,
very bad.
Really bad.
Very
unexpectedly bad.
Yeah.
Don't really know what's going on with that team.
Do you want to quickly do this? Qualifying head-to-head. Do you want to do a little quiz?
So I can do it What, so who I think is going to win in qualifying, as in like against their teammate?
No, no. Who's winning at the moment with regards to...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I reckon I can do that.
All right, so this one is going to be a bit difficult. Red Bull, Verstappen, Perez, who's leading?
Yeah, this is not the most easy one, but I'm going to have to guess Verstappen.
Well done, yeah. 19 to 2.
Is it as much as that, though?
Yeah, 19 to 2.
Jesus.
Mercedes, Hamilton, Russell.
Yeah, I actually think George Russell might be ahead here.
Hamilton is 11 to 10.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought it was one, but the other way.
Yeah, that's all right. Let you have that. Well, I won't have you. It was wrong.
So I'll take the point.
No, Ferrari, Leclerc, Sainz.
I think Sainz.
Leclerc, 14-7.
14-7, Jesus.
It's close.
So it's not just poles he can't convert. It's just any position.
McLaren, Norris, Piastri.
That's Norris.
Yeah, 15-6. Aston Martin, Alonso, Stroll.
This is a tricky one. that's obviously Fernando.
18-3. Yep. Alpine, Gasly, Ocon.
Ooh, I actually think Ocon's had a better season.
Gasly, 13-8.
But Ocon's higher up in the championship, though.
Yeah, well, this is only qualifying. Remember?
Yeah, but that's all I'm thinking of.
Well, I'm talking about qualifying, right? Just don't matter. This one is tough. And I really want you to have a think about this one, okay? Williams, Albon, Sargent.
Yeah. I'm not sure on this one. I think I'm going to go with Albon. I did like dip do it in my head.
Yeah, 20-0.
No way.
Yeah.
That's tight.
It's. I mean, going into this weekend, it could go either way.
Anyone could be forgiven for getting that one wrong.
Yeah. AlphaTauri, Tsunoda, Ricciardo.
Was this not just like a bit of an unfair fight? Or is it like...
Is she between these two?
I actually reckon this one's really close, but I think Tsunoda, just.
3-3.
Oh, draw. Well, I did say it's really close, to be fair.
But you went Tsunoda. Alfa Romeo, Bottas, Scholl.
Bottas.
Yeah, 15-6. And Haas, Magnussen, Hülkenberg.
Hulk.
14-7, yeah. Verstappen looking to add record. Verstappen has statistically had the most dominant season in F1 history with most wins. I mean, it's
yeah,
just...
Yeah, yeah, but...
A 19th win on Sunday would mean he set a winning percentage of 86.36% this year, having beaten Alberto Ascari's record of 75% in 1952.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, anyone listening. I believe Max Verstappen is also on track to break another record this weekend.
Yeah. What is it?
Is it not most race wins in a row?
I don't know. I'll be honest. I don't care. I don't care.
No, but hear this, right? This is the interesting part about the stat.
Yeah.
He will be breaking the record that he set earlier this season for most race wins in a row. How mad is that?
Is it?
Yeah, I read a tweet where someone said, because I think, is the record not 9?
Yes.
9 race wins in a row.
Yeah.
That he got earlier this season.
Was it 9 or is it 10?
It may well be 10.
I think it's 10.
So I think if he wins this race, it will be 11 in a row. Check.
Well, I can't because I'm currently doing something different here.
Yeah, but check.
What do you mean to check?
Race winners this season. And will this be his 11th race win in a row? F1. Because I think it will be. Okay. And that is an incredible stat. I think everyone should know that stat. If Max Verstappen breaks the record, right? This season. Right, 10 okay. Race wins in a row. He then...
Okay, count this in. So, Max, Miami, Monaco for Max, Spain, Max, Canada, Max, Austria, Max, Silverstone, Max, Hungary, Max, Belgium, Max, Netherlands, Max, Italy, Max.
10.
Okay, that's 10, all right?
Yeah.
So then, Japan, Max, Qatar Max, Austin Max, Mexico Max, Brazil Max, Las Vegas Max, Abu Dhabi.
I've been lied to.
Yeah, that's...
I've been fucking lied to.
some sad news this weekend. Our mate, who we love a lot, Franz Tost, is retiring.
Oh, no.
Yeah, how sad.
Yeah.
Goodbye. Abu Dhabi. So, who's the most winners at Abu Dhabi? Who's got 5 race wins there?
I mean, that's got to be Lewis.
Yep. Who's joint second with 3 wins?
That is actually Max, because he's won it the last 3 years.
Yep. And who's the there. Other one?
Joint.
Yep.
Bloody hell.
No, it's not him.
Who's that? I don't think... Oh, it's got to be Fernando.
Nope, Sebastian Vettel.
Oh. I thought you meant current drivers on the grid.
No, I didn't say that, did I?
No, but that's...
You just made up your own rules.
But it was a bit misleading.
No, it's not. Did I say that? No, I didn't. Right.
It felt a bit misleading.
Do you want to know the race weekend? So, FP1 is 9:30 till 10:30 Friday. FP2 is 1 till 2 on Friday. And FP3 on Saturday is 10:30 to 11:30, and qualifying is 2 till 3. Quite nice.
I'm playing football then, so I'm going to have to come home and watch it.
No. Race is 1 o'clock on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm about then.
Not too bad. Predictions for this weekend?
I think Lewis is going to get the win. I can't even take that seriously anymore. Max is going to win. I'm going to go Max, Lewis, George.
Oh, God, you're an idiot. I'm going to go Max, Charles, Lando.
Right, but I'm the idiot.
Mate, you put both Mercedes on there for this weekend.
All right. Guys, listening to this. How am I the idiot? Mercedes are P2 in the Constructors. Lewis Hamilton is P3 in the Drivers' Championship. All of a sudden, you put Charles Leclerc, who's what, like P7 in the Championship or something ridiculous like that?
P2 Norris. In Vegas. He had a solid weekend this weekend. Just gone.
See, this is your problem, right?
No, I'm not looking...
You're too short-sighted. You completely disregard the fact that Ferrari has evidently shown an unbelievable amount of strength at these straight-line speed tracks. You thought the Mercedes was going to be abysmal this weekend because it had a poor weekend in Las Vegas. You now think Ferrari is going to be unbelievable this weekend because it's just had a good weekend in Vegas.
No.
I can't wrap my head around that. The cars perform differently at different
tracks. But you're putting both Mercedes. They were awful in Brazil, okay? They weren't great in Vegas.
That, you know, Lewis was lapping at the same speed as Max Verstappen when he was in cleaner.
Granted. But what I'm saying is they haven't had great weekends. So going into this weekend...
How were they at Austin?
He got disqualified.
Well, so did Charles.
Yeah.
Well, so does that mean he's going to have a terrible weekend?
No, it's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is...
What about Mexico, where Lewis got P2?
Yeah.
That was only a week before Brazil.
True. No, okay. I just think at this moment in time, I have such little faith in Mercedes, and I just want this season to be over, in all honesty. But...
Yeah, but where's this little faith coming from? Like, what... Okay, granted... Every team has little faith in winning a race other than Red Bull.
Yeah.
Mercedes are P2 in the Constructors. Lewis Hamilton is P3 in the Drivers' Championship. At what point have we lost faith that he's able to get a podium?
Yeah, okay. Valid point. All right, okay.
Which is why I don't think it's that idiotic. I think this track is going to be quite nice for the Mercedes car.
Yeah.
I I think we saw, I know it's a very different car. I think we saw last season a car that was competitive there against the Ferraris that was at the time a quicker car.
Yeah.
Yeah, I personally just think, well, don't let me sway your decision.
No, I'm going to stick with my decision. I'm going to stick. I think Lewis fourth, P4 for Lewis. Yeah. Max, Charles, Lando.
Well, there you have it. Make sure you... I assume this bit's going to get clipped up.
Yeah. What, you calling me an idiot? Yeah.
Yeah, so just do leave your comments down below. And make sure you let us know who you think the top three is going to be. And inevitably, let us know that you disagree with Matt and that everything I've just said is correct.
I don't think there's anything else to talk about, is there?
No, obviously, end of season. We'll do a little end of season.
Yeah. I don't think we need to bring up Abu Dhabi 21 because it's just too painful.
Yeah, but interestingly, it is still being talked about a lot. So, you know, you can be the human error champion of the world, but it will be remembered and it will not be forgotten, like Christian Horner said.
No.
We will not let his memory die.
No, it's, I mean, every time I talk about it, I just find I'm so passionate about it. It just drives me mad every time. But that is the end of the podcast. Hopefully you guys have enjoyed this. Make sure you check us out on all social medias, especially TikTok and Instagram now. We'll be back next week with a brand new podcast. And one thing we are looking to potentially do, can I say?
What are we looking to do?
The lives when we do our podcast.
Oh, what, live streaming on TikTok?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because our plan is that we want to get more interaction. And the one thing which we're thinking is that we could do more, we can get more interaction during these podcasts.
You know what, if you're listening at this point, fair fucking play. Yeah, yeah. Give us 5 stars yeah. Right now.
So we might actually look at doing that, actually live streaming it on TikTok whilst we're doing the podcast. So you can get sending questions, can have those discussions. And then actually we'll upload the audio anyway the next day. And yeah. Actually, for some people, they might enjoy that. So, yeah, we'll be back next week for a brand new podcast. Let's hope for a Lewis Hamilton win this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, have a good week. And we shall see you next week. Bye-bye.